Today on Real Radio.
The truth of the matter is that there's no room for you. How sad is this to say? That there's no room. Though heaven be vast and eternal and available to all, there is no room for anyone there, the Bible declares, that has not come but through Jesus Christ. And that angers people. And it shouldn't.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Revelation. We've been looking at chapter 12 of John's apocalyptic report. In verses 7 through 12, we are told of the great war that takes place in heaven with Michael and his angels fighting against Satan and his angels. Our study is called Salvation is the Victory of God. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Church, have you ever been in the place where nothing makes sense, but you know God has called you to be his child? Nothing makes sense. Have you ever gone through pain and it hurts so bad and it's so ongoing that you begin to think, you know, why continue any longer? When I visit people in the hospital or when they go home to die in their homes and you see them suffering, I've learned over the years to walk out of that hospital or walk out of that home thinking this way. This is exactly what Satan loves. He loves this. And he has come that the world, whole world might be like this. Lord, deliver them from their pain soon enough. Lord, show this precious saint your glory even now before they see you. Bless them. Give them dreams, Lord, that is greater than the pain that this world puts upon them. See, why do you say that? Because, my friend, we may look like we're living a cush, happy life here in sunny Southern California, but there are so many evils aligned against us, and we're not doing as good as we look. People masquerading as Christian, people masquerading holding a Bible, yet they don't open it, they don't read it, they don't know it. And because of that, they have no promises, they have no faith, they have no strength. Why would you choose to live like that? I know why. Because the world is still so titillating to you, so exciting to you, that you still flirt with it and play with it. Just know this, it's cancerous, and it's killing you. But when you pick up the Bible, you can be rest assured you are guaranteed by God absolute victory. It's final. Amen. Absolute. Listen, and that's good news if you, poor Peter, you think of Peter in Luke 22. Luke 22, 31. Jesus said to Peter, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he might sift you as wheat. I've told you before, you already know what I'm going to say. I told you before that if here Satan shows up to Jesus and says, hey, let me have Peter. I want to shred him. That word sift as wheat, not a good word. Now Jesus says, verse 32, but I've prayed for you, Peter. Well, that's nice. And that your faith should not fail you. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brothers. Excuse me, Lord, I'm not sure if I understood that right. Satan came, asked you to shred me. He wants access to me. And I'm sorry. You know, what did you say to him? Well, first of all, Peter, I said, I'm going to pray for you. And after he's done with you, when you recover, strengthen your brothers and sisters in the faith. Okay, Jesus, can we conference on this right now? How about this? Satan asked you to give permission, access to me, to rip me up? How about you just say no? Just say, Satan asked, Jesus, you say no. Everything's fine. This is true. very temporal, very shallow. I'll have nothing to share with to anybody about the power of God in my life. Are you ready for this? Because we live in a fallen, evil world, rotten, stinking things happen to all of us. But we have the promises of God that promise us absolute victory. That's final. And after we've weathered them by the grace of God, who the Bible says will not let us go through anything that we cannot endure, because I've already tried to inform him, I've had enough. I can't take it. He goes, yes, you can. Another month of it. Lord, listen to me. And he just doesn't listen. But listen, if you're going to grow as a Christian, he'll take you right to the brink and then he'll stop it and bring in the mercy. You say, I don't like that. That's tough. That's just too bad. I was going to say that's tough, but that probably wouldn't have been nice to say. But it is tough. It's just tough. That's how we grow. You say, yeah, my non-believing friends, they have just as much problems as I do. Or in fact, I have more problems than my non-believing friends. I know, but they're all watching you because you said you're a Christian. And they got their eyes on you. Well, let's see what he does now. You see? Well, Satan's days are numbered. And he's been booted out of heaven at this time of the book of Revelation. He has access there right now. But the good news is, if you think about it, did Peter come back to strengthen his brethren? Oh, big time. I got news for you. Peter later on in his epistles make it very clear to us that he wouldn't have changed a thing. What about Job? Going back to Job, remember what happened to him? All of his children were killed. Satan killed his kids. He had sores all over his pussy body. Pus oozing out its, and he took broken glass and scraped the pus, it says, off his skin. And he sat in a heap of ashes and just cried. You think he got it bad? And then of all things, his wife shows up to him and says, why don't you curse God and die? And he says, you speak to me like one, like some of the idiot women of this country, of this land. He would not curse God. And the Bible says in the end, Job was happier than he was at the beginning. That can only happen through God in your life, my friend. Only through God. Point number 2, verses 9 through 10. Salvation is the victory of God. Our victory is an overwhelming victory. It's an overwhelming victory. Why? Because our true enemy is overwhelmingly defeated. Verse 9. So the great dragon, Satan, was cast out. That old serpent. Listen. Old serpent, reference to the garden. Called the devil. The word devil, diablos, means the slanderer or one who accuses. Okay? Satan is the word our chief adversary. That's what that means. So we have a chief adversary who's been around since the garden who accuses us. Okay? What else? When we look at that word dragon, great dragon, it means, listen, it means that he is ruling over the kingdoms and politics of the world. Now listen. Notice this with me. It may not be a big deal to you, but it sure blessed my heart. And look at the word. Can you take your pen? If you have a New King James Version Bible, which is what I read out of predominantly, I'll quote verses 99% of the time from it, but not always. But if you have a New King James Version Bible, how does verse 9 open up? So, can you circle that so? You got to love it. You want to know why? So the dragon was cast out. You say, what's so big about that? It's the wording of it. As a result of Satan's ways, time had come. He's got to go. So the great dragon was cast out. And what's beautiful about that is we're not sure how that sounds because we can only read it. So, the great dragon was cast out. So, the great dragon was cast out. You can't get the tone on it. It's an absolute victory, though. He's out. Never allowed to come back. His days are numbered. Overwhelmingly defeated, Satan will be. He's on a leash right now. Some of us might agree it's a little long leash, but he's on a leash right now. The Bible tells us in 1 John 5:19 that we know that we are the children of God. 1 John 5:19. We know that we are the children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one, Satan. You ever think about that? This control that he has can only be broken by one person, by the way, and that's Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches. By the way, my friend, you can try anything. You can do anything. You can chant a mantra. You can focus on your navel. You can, climb a mountain and sit in your aura. You can drink potions. It ain't going to happen. And a lot of Christians try this too. Listen, I don't mean to hurt anybody, but maybe God wants you to hear this. Maybe you're from a religious upbringing or background where you're from a belief system that if you just stop cussing and stop having dirty thoughts in your mind, and if you just, you stop this, and if you stop this, if you don't smoke and chew and go with girls who do, if you just stop those things and clean up your act, listen, and then come to Christ, God will receive you. Did you know that's heresy? That's legalism. You can't come to heaven. You can't come to Christ that way. Hi, God. I stopped smoking. I stopped chewing. And I stopped going with girls who doing. I'm here. I cleaned up my act. Here I am. The Bible says that's nuts. You can't do that. First of all, you can't do it. You may stop physically doing it, but it's in your heart to do. A true relationship with Christ is when he steps in and he clears it out. So that if you do happen to sin in those areas, it's a trip. It's not a walk in those sins. You wind up saying, why did I do that? That's what I used to do before. I can't stand it. I don't want to do that. That's a Christian. Well, the Bible says Satan has sway over this world and he's the evil one. 2 Corinthians 4, this is a serious verse. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 through 4. Paul says, but if our gospel is veiled, not recognizable or understood by people, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this world has blinded, that's Satan, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. Isn't that tremendous? Second consideration, verse 10, we need to hurry. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, I love this. John says, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. We know exactly who these people are in heaven shouting loudly. It's Calvary Chapel, no doubt. They're shouting, they're loud. No, it's this. It's the tribulation saints, the ones that died in the first 3.5-year period. You can read that later. I'll give you the reference. You can write it right alongside verse 10. It's those found in verses of Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. That's who they are. We know who their voices are. Who's shouting? It's those that died in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. They're calling out. What are they saying? Now. It's about time. Salvation, strength, the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. We're nearing the end of the tribulation period in our study. And that's a great thing. Third consideration, our victory is an overwhelming victory because our true adversary is overwhelmingly stopped. And this is precious to us. It says here to us that the accuser of our brethren, for the accuser of our brethren who accuses them before our God day and night has been cast down. This is great. Can't spend much time here. Just keep this in mind. Satan, according to the Bible, is constantly informing God about all of your nastiness and all of your troubles and all of your things and all of your blah, 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 of all, both saved and unsaved, informing God, condemning the human race. Not that God needs the help. God knows everything. But you know what's neat about this? By the way, is it Betsy? You know, who's the woman that sewed the flag? Ross? Betsy Ross? Somebody came up to Betsy Ross and said, that person right there, remember, they really hate you and they've really hurt you. And Betsy Ross said, you know, I distinctly remember forgetting that. Satan appears before the throne of God. Did you see what Jack did today? Now remember, there's a bunch of people loud shouting in heaven. Now salvation has come! Plus, the four living creatures before the throne of God day and night, what are they shouting? Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. You got that going on. That's loud. Then you've got these people who have been martyred during the tribulation period the first 3.5 years. They're loud saying, now salvation has come! Then you got Satan going, God, did you hear, did you see what Jack did? And you've got to be thinking with all that's going on with a loud voice of praise, God goes, what? You what? Did you hear, did you see what Jack did today? I'm sorry, it's loud up here. Did you ask me, did I see what my son did today? No, I said, did you hear and say, what Jack did today? I'm sorry, God says, it's loud up here. It's as though God distinctly remembers forgetting. Because he says in his word, I will take your sin from you and I will remember it no more. Satan is yapping on what you and Betty Lou were doing out 2 years ago in the back seat of the car, and then you come to Jesus and said, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I'm not, and you give your heart to Christ. Or maybe you were a backslidden Christian, or maybe today you're thinking right now, you know, some thought that's not of God, and you take it to the throne of God. Listen, if you're a Christian today, God erases it. You say, well, then that gives me license to sin. Not at all, because if you're a Christian, you don't want to sin. So the accuser of the brethren is cast out. No wonder why everybody praises the Lord in heaven and goes in a wonderful way. We'll end with this, verses 11 to 12. This victory comes at a great price. You see, this victory is not purchased by ourselves. It comes at the price of Jesus himself. How so? This gift of salvation is of the Lord, my friend. It's of the Lord. Verse 11 and 12 says, and they, that is those believers during the tribulation period, overcame him, that's the dragon. How did they do it? By the blood of the Lamb, that's number one. Number two, by the word of their testimony. And three, they did not love their lives even unto death. The result, therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Quickly this, the way to overcome now depression, sadness, feeling spiritually inept or weak is to realize this, I overcome evil in my life, not by my own blood, not by my own power, not by my own strength. By how? By his blood, the blood of Christ. Number one, in my life, Lord, I ask you to apply the power of the blood of Jesus in this thing in my life. Number two, by the word of their testimony, simply means this. They told people about Christ. What they said about him was what's true about their life. They weren't hypocrites. They didn't say one thing about God and then live a different way. They said the truth about the scriptures about God. They had a testimony. They told people about the truth of God's power. And it liberated them. And then listen to this. They didn't love their lives until the end. They saw a kingdom. They saw a world. They saw a God worth living for and worth dying for. And if things continue in this next few weeks in America or in the next few days in America and California, do we have a faith? Do we worship a God that's worthy of being arrested for? And it says in verse 11 that they did not love their lives even unto death. The truth of the matter is that there's no room for you. How sad is this to say? That there's no room. Though heaven be vast and eternal and available to all, there is no room for anyone there, the Bible declares, that has not come but through Jesus Christ. And that angers people. And it shouldn't. If I had $1,000 in my hand and it were your birthday, and it was all the money I owned, it's all the money that I've ever had and ever will have. And I tell you, this is all that I have. But I love you so much, it's your birthday. And I go and I take you and I say, you know what, I want you to, here, let's, you know, what do you want? I want clothes, okay? Here, $1,000, let's go. Buy all these clothes. And that money's spent and gone. And you come to me and you say, hey, thanks, but I know I need more. There is no more. You've got all this clothing. What more could you want? I want more. I cannot give you more. I gave you all. But I want more. And there's a new way out there. I saw somebody wearing something new, and I got this yesterday, but I want this now. There's no more to give. Jesus Christ went to the cross and gave his own life, the blood of God, to save mankind from their sins. And when people hear that message, they say, forget that. I don't want that. I want something new. I want something more. There is nothing more. You see, to think that Jesus died on the cross for our sins more than implies that we're sinners and that we need his saving. Do you get that? Do you understand that? And I don't know how long it's going to be legal to mention the word sinner. But you know what? I am so glad that Jesus has forgiven me of so much sin. Because if he wouldn't have stepped into my life 27 years ago, I would probably have been dead by now. A violent man, a brawler. Am I proud of my sin? I hate it. I try my best to forget it every day. But it causes me to sure love him and worship him, you know. I'm so appreciative. You want to know why? He died once and for all for me. He doesn't have to go do it again. And my friend, you can call me. You can come by. You can give me a book about some other way to bliss and, you know, paradise. I'm not interested. Because you know what? I've eaten of the bread of life and I've drunk of the water of the fountain of life. I'm not thirsty anymore. I'm not hungry anymore. And so you can't reject him. The Bible says in Acts 4:11 that there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Please make your decision for Jesus Christ. And so the Bible ends here in this verse that Satan is cast down to earth. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, because Satan has a short time.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a study taken from Revelation chapter 12 and verses 7 through 12, it's a look at John's report of the war that takes place in the heavenly realm. Salvation is the victory of God. That's the title of this study. And we invite you to join us again on Monday's broadcast of Real Radio as we continue through the book of Revelation. One of our primary goals here at Real Radio is to see to it that you are properly equipped with the tools necessary for solid and steady growth in Christ and scriptural understanding. And so we're making an offer to you that's quite simple. For your gift to Real Radio of any amount, we'll send you the book by R. Kent Hughes called Set Apart. Set Apart is a social report on the behaviors and lifestyles of Christians and how they're becoming mere reflections of the world. And then Set Apart also becomes a how-to of sorts on holy living. In addition to the book Set Apart, we'll also send you Pastor Jack's powerful message, Can a Nation Rise Again? It was delivered on the eve of 9/11's fifth anniversary. Can a nation rise again? Well, yes, if certain things first happen within our society. Find out what they are by hearing Can a Nation Rise Again? Now, this is all for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Go to realradioactive.org to learn more. realradioactive.org. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our telephone number, 909-393-7100. Again, 909-393-7100. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and is able to continue on the air reaching people for Christ because of your participation. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.